Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD, the season finale of Under the Radar here on Wednesday, February 22nd, a little after 9:30 Eastern. Well, we'll get to that in a second here. First of all, let me introduce everybody, all right? Can we do that? I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Down below me, John Stalica. To his side, David Dorman. Did I get everyone?
Hey, I'm here.
David Griggs, unfortunately, back with us as well, despite the fact that our podcast without him last week was one of our highest rated of all time. According to me,
what rating service are you using?
My own.
Oh, okay. Speaking of ratings, traffic really high. So if you're watching us for the first time, welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. And
it's the season finale. You missed the whole season.
And that does not mean that this is the end of Hoops HD at all. It's actually beginning Sunday night. We're going to be going into championship week mode with the conference tournament starting next week. So we're going to have podcasts every single night starting Sunday night until Selection Sunday, which means that you're going to get even more under the radar coverage, not less under the radar coverage. Right, did I get that right?
Yeah.
But, and best of all, we are opening the puppet bunker for 2023.
No, we're not doing
days.
That.
4 days. 4 days. We're working on that. Don't tell him Sleek what I'm hiding. Grace, what the heck does it mean to be under the radar?
Well, it means you're in a league that's do you want the layman definition or the technical one?
Yeah, layman.
Okay, the layman definition is that you're in a league that typically only gets one team in. There is no such thing as a one-bid league. There's no rule that says the SWAC can't send 8 or 9 teams, but they typically only send one. Technically, what that means is that it is certainly not the Power 5, the ACC, SEC, Big 10, Big 12, and Pac-12, nor is it the other regular high-level multi-bid leagues like normally the Atlantic 10, but not this year. A-10 is under the radar. The Big East, the West Coast, the Mountain West, and the American. Hey, I got them all.
Yeah, the only other disqualifier, any individual teams that are in the top 25 of either of the two major polls are not considered under the radar. We've had a couple teams bouncing back and forth this season. Right now, none of these teams in these conferences we're going to be discussing is in the top 25, so they're all fair game for this final show here. What we like to do for the show is go through all the leagues in alphabetical order other than a feature conference. And with us going into championship week mode next week, we're going to be doing a lot of conferences, but the very, very last conference we're going to have any discussion of next week, I figure it's going to be a long time between now and we have any more serious discussion of them. Might as well feature that for our final week. We're not going to be talking about this conference until playing a game in conference tournaments until the day before Selection Sunday. It's the last conference tournament to start. So it's going to be also our last feature conference. And there's some intriguing storylines heading into the last couple of regular season games here. We're talking a little Ivy League tonight. And Dorman, I don't think we've talked too much about this league almost all season. But look at this incredible battle we have here for regular season title, top four spots, everything.
A great finish coming. Yep, like you said, Chad, Yale, Princeton, Penn fighting out what seed they will be. They all will be in the Final Four. The Ivy League only brings four to the conference tournament. Now, for that last spot, Cornell and Brown are both tied at 6-6. Only four will advance to the tournament.
Not only are they there, Harvard and Dartmouth at 5-7 still alive. Yeah. I'll get the schedules up coming up in the screen here in a second. But Stalica, it was a real fun week this past weekend of the Ivy League as well. A couple overtime games in there. The thriller between Yale and Princeton.
Well, that was one of the storylines right there. Cornell also happened to go 1-1. But I think one of the big ones that they blew was a game at home against Harvard, which is also keeping the Crimson alive for at least getting into Ivy Madness on their home court.
And Griggs, I got Yale and Princeton's profiles up here, especially Yale with a nice net at 68. Yeah. Where does this team land on a seed line, especially if it's them?
I think either one of them really would be 13-14 range. I know Princeton's net isn't quite as good. But they also, I don't know, they're pretty similar other than the net for Yale. I'm thinking 13-14 range. That's about where we've been putting them in our mock committees.
And it's kind of funny that one of the reasons Yale's net is so good is the sweep of Princeton on the regular season. Yeah. That kind of pushes them up there a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I got up here on the screen 1 second here. This is the not only this week's upcoming games, every team playing one game, but also March 4th, the final Saturday. So each team with one game this weekend, one game the last Saturday. And so some fascinating matchups here. First of all, for the top spot, Yale with maybe the easiest thing hosting Cornell and then going to Brown, but not going to Brown is not exactly
No,
simple.
it isn't.
But Princeton, on the other hand, has to go to Harvard before they play their rival Penn. Penn's got to host Dartmouth, who's got a little bit of life before they play that Penn Princeton game.
Yeah, and like as Dorman touched, so many things are up for grabs in these last two games. The first place finish doesn't really mean much because they don't do home court advantage, but the race for fourth is
You know
incredible.
what? You tell an Ivy League team that winning a regular season title in the Ivy League is not important, and they're all going to laugh at you, Greg. So this is
Okay.
very important for pride's sake in the Ivy League. Does throw in an NIT automatic berth as well if you should you slip up in the
Right.
in the conference tournament. So I don't think you
Well,
play for nothing by playing for that one seed.
yeah, but it's just kind of funny. Like we might, even if there wasn't a 14 tournament based on Ivy League rules, we might have a four-way tie, which would give us a four-way tournament.
Well, at least a three-way tie here. And
Yeah.
I would guess the other thing you got to throw in there is whoever wins this tiebreaker gets to avoid the other two teams until the
Yeah.
championship. The other two teams are going to play each other in the semifinal and then the other team in the final. But Dorman, looking at the other half here, the battle for the last spot here, Cornell is at Yale. Tough task. Then an easy game against Columbia to end the season. Brown, though, has to go to the Columbia, then host Yale. If they both split, there's a road here maybe for Harvard or Dartmouth if they can sweep their weekend. Well, if they could either think of win this weekend, then the winner of their game against each other next week.
Yes, exactly. So basically, Cornell is going to Yale and Brown is at home against Yale. Those two teams, both anyone at 6-6 or 5-7, all four of those teams need to go 2-0 if they want to have any hope for that last spot. So this is tight. This is going right down to the last game on March 4th.
And very big to keep Harvard out of the tournament here, Salika. They are hosting it.
Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we lost Salika. You there?
Yep, Salika's frozen, I think.
He's blown away by the excitement.
I think
Yeah.
we lost his audio, Salika. We'll try to get you back here.
Yeah, we see him moving there. We can't hear him.
Trying
But yeah,
to...
that is a good point because Harvard, with the built-in advantage of hosting the tournament, it's like congratulations, your first place, and your first game is on the road at Harvard.
Yeah.
But how they do it, yeah.
So maybe that's the reason why you don't want to win the regular season title if
Yeah.
Harvard gets that fourth spot. You want to be in that 2-3 game. Salika,
Right.
do we have you back?
I think we do.
All
Yeah.
right, we got
Oh.
Salika back. Well, just for coming back here, I'm going to let you go to our next conference here as we go through them in alphabetical order. In the America East with Vermont sitting here at 12-2 and pretty much clinched. I don't know if they've outright clinched the regular season title, but
I
they're pretty
think
much
they
there.
did with the win tonight.
They did.
So,
Yeah, they did tonight.
yeah.
I believe there's 16 games in the regular season. So, yes,
Yeah.
Vermont has clinched no worse than an NIT bid at this point.
Yep, and we've got Vermont there. Two games left for them. The other story we've been kind of tracking here is Albany, by virtue of back-to-back losses from NJIT, has remained alive for the American East tournament for now, but there's still a long shot to make it even to the
yeah,
top
they're
eight.
they're in hospice, but they are still alive. I mean, they could rally and win the national title. But
well, they get NJIT head to head on Saturday. That could give them the edge for the tiebreaker. Should
that
they?
Would certainly make things interesting if they
Sure.
got that.
But of course, they then also have to win at Vermont on Tuesday. So
yeah.
Regardless of what NJIT does,
yeah,
sure.
they have to win at Vermont on Tuesday to earn the right to have the chance to win at Vermont on the quarterfinals. So kind of an uphill climb here for Albany.
Dorman, before we do get to conference tournament, there is an interesting game coming up Saturday with Vermont going on the road to Bryant.
Yes, I was a little – I thought Bryant was going to be really closer in the standings at the end of the year than they were to Vermont. I thought Bryant, with what they were bringing back, had a chance, but – Vermont just too powerful. They played a really strong out of conference. Now they didn't win any of these games. They went out west. I believe it was USC and St. Mary's. But I really like the scheduling done because although they didn't win any, they got themselves ready for conference play. Now they'll get themselves ready for March if they can win the conference tournament on their home floor.
Yeah, and it's really, really tough to win at Vermont.
Yeah.
They should be heavily favored to win this automatic bid. Griggs, over in the A-Sun, We see a lot of red on the screen here. First, let me explain a little bit of that here. The ASUN conference only takes 10 teams into its conference tournament. It does, however, allow Bellarmine and Queens, two transitional teams, in. So the bottom three teams there, Jacksonville State, Central Arkansas, Austin Peay, cannot qualify under any circumstance for the ASUN tournament. They are in red. Bellarmine and Queens as transitional teams are also in red. But why don't we talk about the top of the conference, where we saw Kennesaw State and Liberty go to head-to-head with a hell of a game last Thursday night.
It was, and it was a hell of a win for Kennesaw State. And in the moment, it looked like they had a direct path to a first place finish in home court advantage. But tell me this, do they still play at Campus Sites, Jen?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yes. So the standings are really important, and to have that advantage over Liberty was big. And if you watch that game, you have seen a lot of Kennesaw games, as have I, and I want to know where they got all those people from, because I've never seen that was just a bunkers environment.
They're just north of Atlanta. They found a bunch of people, not a problem. Yeah. But then they kind of gave a lot back on Saturday. Yeah, at home
they were so excited that they lost to Queens. Queens, a fun story in and of themselves, as a transitional team having an exceptionally good year by transitional school standards, but still, you would have expected it to be a bit of a layup for Kennesaw, especially after looking so good just 48 hours earlier against Liberty. And now they're head to head again. And is that the tiebreaker, or did they play earlier in the year? So Kennesaw still has a, you know, has a direct path to being the first.
It comes down to a single game here. Kennesaw is at Central Arkansas, who is not very good on Friday. They win that game, they are the one seed. Should they lose it, they will need Liberty to lose at home to Queens to get that one seed. So that's the path to the one seed right now. All those games Friday. The other big thing coming up here Friday is Florida Gulf Coast, Jacksonville, and Queens. Two out of those three will make the top 10. That will all be decided on Friday as well. Gulf Coast, I believe, absolutely is in the top with a win. Queens also is in a top. Jacksonville will need some help, at least one, if not both, those teams to lose to get in.
Okay.
We'll get that all confirmed on the website later as well. But Stalika, let's jump over to the A-10. What happened tonight? I think I wasn't paying that much attention. I think Dayton picked up a win tonight. VCU, were they playing today or no?
No,
VCU won at on St. Hawk Joe. Hill on Tuesday night.
Right.
But other than that, Saturday, VCU also blew Fordham off their home court, so the VCU Rams, not the Fordham Rams, are going to be the team that's in the driver's seat as far as the top seed goes in the A-10 right here. Dayton, they're still a game back.
Tell me if you've heard this before, but had you gotten to see VCU in the last week and a half, they haven't done it enough, which is the problem, but they do look like a tournament caliber team. It took them too long to get there. And they stubbed their toes a few too many times, particularly that Jacksonville game. And their resume, I don't think, gets there. Dorman does a little bracketology. I know that that's more Rocco and Tytel's thing. But any chance at all this team gets selected without the auto bid?
No, I think they'll be brought up. It'll be discussed. But even if you run the table against Richmond and St. Louis at home, and then win at GW, and let's say you got to the finals of the A-10 and fall short, I just don't see it. I think VCU falls short without the auto bid in the A-10.
I'll tell you that the thing is, I think this team remains on the committee's board.
I agree.
All the way there. They could be one seed, two seed NIT type of situation. Top four, maybe not top four, but definitely top eight out, I think, is where they end up.
Yeah, they have it in them to play like a tournament caliber team. They have it in them to win a game in the round of 64. It's just that they got to get there, and they didn't do enough during the year. It's like they have a high ceiling. They just didn't play up to it enough to not need the auto bid.
No, they didn't. Here's the upcoming schedule for this week. Fordham at Loyola is going on right now. I guess as we record this, it hasn't gone final yet, or did it?
No, it's tied at late first half.
Yeah, it's late first half, so it's a later start for this evening. We're recording this is almost 10 p.m. Eastern right now. Big game, though, is Friday night's game. I believe it's probably a national televised game, Richmond at VCU. That's a nice little rivalry there, if nothing else. And Richmond's got some life in them too this year, so don't just assume it's a win here for VCU.
Right. I
Tuesday, St.
love
Louis at
Chris
VCU
Moody.
also.
Yeah, something, and this was brought up by Tytel the other night. I love Chris Mooney as a coach. He will miss the remainder of the season due to health issues, not long-term health issues, but we wish him the best.
Yeah,
I'm a
Weston.
big fan of Chris Mooney.
Yeah,
That's why I
absolutely.
always overvalue Richmond early in the year.
Dorman over in the Big Sky, one of our two remaining teams that's undefeated in conference play, Eastern Washington, now 15-0.
Rolling along, yet no one wants to talk about him. Now, will they be able to pull the double-double? They're going to win the conference. Maybe they go undefeated, but are they going to have, they're going to have all the pressure on them in the Big Sky tournament to get this done. The tournament is in Boise, Idaho. So Eastern Washington will not be playing on their own home floor. So this will be up for grabs. I think they're the best. They are the best team. They've rolled over everybody. But seen this happen so many times before. The perfect undefeated team comes into the tournament, and round one gets awfully difficult with the pressure. So we'll see if they can roll through the conference tournament.
Yeah, not that far from Eastern Washington to Boise. I mean, fans, you should Eastern Washington fans, you should get to Boise for this
Better be
conference
there.
tournament. And Eastern Washington has not technically clinched the one seed yet. There's still, with 3 games left, an outside path to if Montana State sweeps and Eastern Washington goes 0-3. But realistically, that's not going to happen. So,
Right, yeah.
and they've have at least clinched a share of it. They are though at Weber, at Idaho State, then hosting Montana State, 3 games in the next 5 or 6 days here.
Right. And you know, they've just blown through this league.
Salika, over in the Big South Conference, we've got UNC Asheville, who I believe has now clinched the regular season title here.
Yeah, UNC Asheville surprisingly has done it by at least 3 games right here. Longwood is at 11-5. They're closest as far as the second seed right here. But the game of the day, not involving either of those two teams, but rather Campbell and Winthrop in the Camthrum Cup here. So, Winthrop actually gets a 4-point play with under 10 seconds to go. They take a 3-point lead, but Campbell comes back. They hit a three with under a second to go in overtime. But unfortunately, the Campbells ran out of gas, and Winthrop ends up getting a nice overtime win.
The other thing I would throw out there, I know Presbyterian is 1-16, 5-25 overall. But this team, and again they did today, every time they play, it seems to be they're losing by 1 point, 2 points, 3 points. Not only against Upstate, who's a middle of the pack, they've done the same thing against the top of the conference. Do not be shocked if Presbyterian pulls off a couple wins in the Big South tournament. If I'm the 2 seed likely to face them in the second round, I'd be scared to death of this
Yeah,
Presbyterian
you're
team.
rooting for Campbell, maybe, in that game.
Yeah.
If I'm the 2 seed, I'm rooting for Campbell to knock him off because I don't want to play this Presbyterian team.
Yeah.
One luck says sooner or later they've got to win one of these close games, and maybe they're
What's
saving
their
it for
luck?
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Let's pull up a team sheet for Presbyterian. Here's
Yeah,
something
I
I don't
mean,
think we've ever done
this is
before.
under the radar, so of course we're pulling up Presby here. You see
350 in luck.
the 350
And
luck.
I didn't even know that was their luck rating, but it does not shock me one bit.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
mean, if
look at
you
the yeah, look at the point
look at this
differential. The
overtime
overtime
at
4.2
Asheville, at the
Yeah.
4 points to the other game, the home game against Asheville, 2 points to Longwood, who is the second place team right now.
Yeah.
Even 5 points to Charleston earlier this year.
I remember that
this
Charleston game. Yeah.
We've seen teams like them make runs to the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Do not be surprised.
Last games of the regular season here. Longwood Gardner Webb, I guess, is going on right now as we record this. The others, oh, sorry, that's actually
That's
tomorrow night.
tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow night. And the rest of the games there coming up this weekend as they finish out Big South play. Griggs, Big West Conference,
Oh,
where
love the Big
look
West.
at this now. It's now a 2-game lead for Irvine over Riverside and Santa Barbara, who's been going very much in the wrong direction with back-to-back losses.
Yeah, and really not looking good in the last week or two. You know, they've dropped 2 games in a row, but even before that, even the games they were winning, they weren't looking that impressive. But the Eaters, we really liked them out of conference. I think we liked them as early as November. Didn't quite do enough to land inside the bubble like we thought they might, but one of the better teams in this league. They've strung together a lot of wins, and this is not an easy league to win in. It's not easy to go to Davis. It certainly isn't easy to go to Santa Barbara. Some of their losses, you know, Beach isn't very good, but it isn't easy to go there. It's not easy to go to Fullerton. So, I mean, I think that they've been tested. It's not easy to go to Hawaii. Wouldn't shock me if they didn't win that one. But this team is built to really ruin someone's day in the round of 64. Whoever draws them better not overlook them.
Yeah,
And every year, the Big West. Not every year, but often it seems like at the under eight, at the under four, that team is right in there in the round of 64.
and they do have two very, very interesting road tests. Two of their toughest road games remaining at Hawaii, at Riverside, before we get to the end of the regular season. So they have not, even though they've got a couple game lead, they have not clinched this regular season title by any means with those two games
Right.
left on the schedule. Riverside right there now, actually half game up on Hawaii and Santa Barbara. And that is the, you know, this is the big week for Riverside, I guess, because they're going to be hosting Irvine. They also have to go to Hawaii tomorrow night, late night game. So, interesting week for Hawaii, also hosting Riverside and Irvine. So, a lot of interesting games here in the Big West this week.
And Santa Barbara also, and say Santa Barbara also needs to get off the mat because they lost by double digits at home against Fullerton.
Oh yeah, they what has happened to them? They're one of those teams that the air just seems to have gone out of.
Yeah, that has not been going well. They've got, you know, the four remaining regular season games to try to get things turned around, but they've really got to get things turned around here, I think,
I
to.
know they had an on the court incident, and I didn't think anything of it, but and I don't know if it's related, but it's kind of hard to not notice that since then they have not been the same.
Fair enough. Dorman over in the Colonial. We remain here in this tie, at least at the lost column between Hofstra and Charleston, but Hofstra's still with the inside track of the one seed. Just need to get one more win to get it.
Exactly, one more win. And if you talk to most people and you talk about the Colonial, they think Charleston is running away with this. But no, Hofstra, the Speedy Claxton Hofstra, they're good. They're really, really good.
They
And
are.
this would be a game I hope we see again, this Hofstra Charleston game. It would be fantastic. Speedy Claxton's got his team playing really, really strong defense. And then they push the ball. I like what they're doing, and they have every chance in the obviously with the record. But they can, Charleston is in no position to anyone thinks that Charleston is a lock going to this tournament is sorely mistaken. Hofstra is a formidable opponent.
Yeah,
Could not agree with that more.
and Charleston does still have an interesting test coming up here tomorrow night at home. It's a home game, but it's a game thousand team before even to try to finish at least for a tie for the regular season title.
Yeah,
Very game.
you can talk about the paper all day long. I mean, I know that that's what we spend most of our time doing, but on the court, I kind of like Hofstra more right now. I think Hofstra wins this tournament. I really liked how they're playing.
Although Hofstra did get a bit of a scare over the weekend, though, the battle for Long Island is not something you can overlook either. And number 330 Stony Brook in the net almost knocked off Hofstra and
Yeah, that would have been
could have
problematic.
short-circuited a nine-game winning streak.
Hofstra, all they need to do to clinch the one seed, beat Northeastern at home on Saturday. That's the game. Other than that, you know, there's a lot of tiebreakers to be worked out here, but it's all about seeding. Conference tournament being held on a neutral court in DC, about midway between Hofstra and Charleston, isn't it? So that's kind of fair. Who am I up to here? Salika, Conference USA, and we can talk about that first place team again.
Florida Atlantic and also North Texas, who seem to be running in a virtual lockstep with each other right here. Now, FAU obviously had the loss to Middle Tennessee, hence we're discussing them on Under the Radar one more time. And then you look at North Texas outside of the two losses against FAU. They've only had one other slip up in conference play. So with other teams crapping the bed and there are at least bubble teams crapping the bed in their seasons, North Texas, who's quietly put together an eight-game winning streak, they're going to merit some discussion in the selection committee.
Yeah, and
Oh,
this is the point
man.
I want to make here, Dorman. Let me ask you about this. Florida Atlantic, I know we all like them. We think that as long as they to win these last four regular season games. They're probably in the field no matter what happens in the CUSA tournament. North Texas, if you can get this nice win tomorrow at Charlotte, and it's not an easy game to win at Charlotte, win the two home games, make it to that conference tournament final, lose there to Florida Atlantic. Given what's going on with everybody else on the bubble, like they always do this time of year, falling apart and getting losses, and you've got a team here that's winning, going into the CUS tournament final, they'd be on a 14-game winning streak at that point in time, or a 13-game winning streak. I think there's a case to be made for an outlaw for two bids, even if FAU gets the automatic bid. Are you with me?
I am with you. I think this is a strong conference. I think this is a very strong team. The run they would be on, I think, Chad, is very important. They would be red hot going into, you know, into the conversation with the committee. If it was a tighter game and they lost, even more so. But I'm with you. The bubble's falling apart. These ACC teams in the middle are not very good. The Mountain West is falling apart. So I definitely think if these two teams find each other in the finals and someone doesn't get blown out, they will be at least in the discussion till the very, very end.
Yeah, I would like to address the committee members that are watching this show right now. Very quickly, Chad, could you pull up the Middle Tennessee profile? And the reason I want it pulled up is because it sort of, when you look at the paper, is being devalued. I just want it to be properly valued when looking at North Texas's resume. This is a team that's outstanding at home. They've beaten Florida Atlantic. They've beaten UAB. Hofstra, who we talked about earlier. Oh, wait, that wasn't at home. But anyway, this is a team that doesn't just have a bloated home record. They've beaten strong teams at home, one of which isn't at large caliber team in Florida Atlantic. And North Texas went there and won. That is a good win.
Yeah, very only two good losses at home. Now, the Chattanooga one back in December, we got to kind of overlook that. That's down in Tier 4. But the North Texas, being one of only two teams to be able to win there all season so far. They do have one more home game against Louisiana Tech, so we'll see what happens with that one. But I think it is a real good point on this North Texas team. And this game tomorrow night, their last true road game at Charlotte, this is a huge game for them because Charlotte is not an easy place to win. And Griggs, I got to ask you, if they win at Charlotte, do they get one of these?
I don't think so. I just think that's Davidson's Charlotte's team, the turd. Okay. The big turd.
They might be able to take it home. Who knows?
I can't. Every time I see that thing, I am amazed that someone sculpted that and thought, yeah, that looks good.
Well, where are we up to here? Griggs, over in the Horizon League, we've seen teams bounce it back and forth. We saw Milwaukee get blown out by Youngstown State. Youngstown State then also blows out Green Bay, but goes to Robert Morris last night and gets their asses kicked.
I don't know. I have penguin fever, and that one hurt.
They do own the tiebreakers over Cleveland State, so they're still a path for the one seed at least here.
Right, and they got to win that last game. They do have just the one game remaining, and then it really doesn't matter because it's at a predetermined site and it's standard seeding.
And that last game happens to be at IUPUI, by the way.
Yeah,
it is on the road, but it's IUPUI.
Right, it is IUPUI. 2-25 against D1 competition this year, a centenary candidate.
Meanwhile, Cleveland State has to go to Green Bay. Okay, they should win that. But then they got to go to Milwaukee on Saturday, which is actually probably going to decide second place in the league.
Yeah, it probably will. But if Youngstown can do it at IUPUI, they can wrap up at least a share and then win the tiebreaker. So a really special year for the Penguins. But it's going to come down to the conference tournament. And when you watch this conference, 8-1 are not separated by that much. Now, 10-11 are, but 8-1, it's pretty close.
throw this out there also. Heading into tomorrow night's games, Antoine Davis is 124 points behind Pistol Pete with two regular season games and a conference tournament, at least one conference tournament game. Got to average over 40 a game to get there unless they can win that first conference tournament game and get a second game, or the CBI gives a call.
CBI gives them a call.
And the 8 seed plays the 9 seed, remember, in the first round. So it's 50-50 they win that game. and he would get two games in the Horizon League tournament. So,
and then you're down to only average 30 instead of 40. So that definitely gives him a real shot here of catching Pistol Pete.
Yeah.
All right, Stalica over in the Metro Atlantic, where Iona now has a two-game lead. I think is Rick Pitino done crying about injuries yet?
I don't think he'll ever be done crying about injuries, but it's something. A different tune that we've been singing about 2 weeks ago when we were having a flavor of the month. What it seemed for like 4 or 5 straight weeks, where Siena would come out of the weeds 1 week, Ryder would come out, Quinnipiac would come out, but Iona at least getting the wins at home against Manhattan and also at St. Peter's. I think they have clinched no worse than a tie for a first right here, assuming this is an 18-game conference schedule.
I believe it's actually a 20-game. They still have 2 weeks left to go. So, yeah. So no, yeah. They've not done it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. They their conference tournament is the last week, but yeah, they've got 2 games this week, 2 more next week. So not quite there, but all but there. But the big game, Griggs, this week is actually Friday night Siena Ryder game between the two teams tied for second.
Yeah, and probably the bigger showcase game there.
And so, then followed up with Siena at Iona Sunday. So
yeah, which is always fun. So.
Well, not only always fun, but it's two of the top teams in the conference.
Right. Yeah.
Griggs, Mid-American Conference, where last night was a heck of a night.
Yeah, it was.
Well, we expected two great games. We ended up with kind of two blowouts. Toledo,
yeah, just care, two
Akron, clunkers. Ball State, Kent State.
Yeah, sorry to talk over you there, but yeah, it was kind of two clunkers. What was appeared to be a showcase night in the MAC turned out to be a change the station night in a MAC. And Kent State getting beaten pretty handily, which I thought was kind of a surprise, but I've been so big on Kent State all year. Toledo was who we really liked going into the year. In fact, like, we thought they were one of the teams that could land inside the bubble. Didn't do well in some of their early season tournaments, but you look at them now and suddenly they're doing fantastically well.
Yeah, I believe this is the team to beat now in the conference here. Dorman is Toledo. I'm done with Kent State for the moment. Especially Toledo should go have 2-0 this week with Buffalo and Central Michigan.
I'm with you. I'm a Rocket. Kent State, who I was all about even 3 weeks ago, has just not looked like they had to start the MAC season, and they're taking losses, and even their wins haven't been pretty. This is going to be a great conference tournament. The top four seeds are all strong enough. Nothing would surprise me there. Then the 5 through 9s are all bunched up tight as can be there too. So all these last remaining games will get the seeding figured out. But this will be fantastic. The 1 through 4 seeds are really good. The MAC is playing better basketball than they have in the last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah,
if that looks doesn't like, sound crazy enough, Mother Miami has had a more successful week than Kent State has had. The Red Hawks have suddenly won 2 in a row.
And, yeah, and only
they play spoiler.
Only 8 teams in this conference tournament. So there, right now, as you can see from the screen there, there is a big battle for that 8th and final spot. It looks like the top 7 are probably in play, not quite clinched yet. The big game, though, this week is actually going to be Tuesday's game. Ball State Akron, the battle between the two teams currently tied for 3rd spot place here.
Yeah, this conference tournament. Just to echo what David said,
he already said it. Let's move on.
Yeah, he already said it. But it's one of the better. It's one of the better conference tournaments. Certainly one of the better under the radar tournaments. But it is a show in Cleveland.
Seriously, moving on though. Now, Dorman, over in the MEAC, where we've got Howard. Still in first place, although they did lose the game Monday night to Morgan State.
Right, which brings Norfolk State back into the picture if they would like the top seed, if they want to win out. But again, Maryland Eastern Shore and UNC Central right there also. So Howard, who looked like they had this all but wrapped up, clearly does not anymore. We'll see. They have the inside track, and here's another great conference tournament coming, because the 1 through 4 seeds, again, I can make it a case for all 4 of them winning. I really believe it's that tight.
And how about a little shout out here to Delaware State, who's one of the last teams to get a win this season. Now up to, now up to 5, to 4 Red conference hot. Wins. This team has been, did they win our centenary? They almost won our centenary a few times. And
yeah, they've won it a couple of times, I think.
Yeah. So a little shout out to Delaware State, having a better year than we expected here. The Big games this week, though. Howard on Saturday is at NC Central. That is probably the biggest game there. Norfolk, yeah. Followed by Norfolk State at NC Central Monday night. So those, it's a big week for NC Central to make a move up too, if they want.
Yeah, in the conference regular season has been more wide open than we thought. At least more wide open than I thought. I thought really since October, and I think you guys were with me that it was going to be Norfolk and friends.
Yep.
Is the conference tournament wide open, or is Norfolk finally going to be Norfolk and just blow through it?
Remember, it's in their home city too. That they do plays at the old Norfolk Scope, home of what is it, WWE wrestling or whatever?
WCW.
WCW wrestling. Yeah. Thank you, Salika. Salika, Missouri Valley Conference.
Didn't know that. I thought WCW was gone. Anyway, I don't know.
It probably is. This arena's been around forever. I just have to refresh the screen there, get a couple of more scores from tonight on the screen there. Salika, Missouri Valley Conference, where Drake and Bradley both found ways to win games. Not too much struggle tonight to remain tied for first.
Not too much of a struggle tonight. I mean, there was a little bit more of a struggle on Sunday for Bradley, who got the close win at Southern Illinois, and it's going to set up a major showdown on Saturday on ESPN2 between the Bulldogs and the Braves.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Sunday, this is the game of the season in the conference, clearly, with Drake and Bradley going head-to-head to determine who gets the regular season crown, gets the NIT bid should they not do the double as well. Yeah, and still a big battle here, Southern Illinois, Belmont, Indiana State, for the 3 and 4 seeds and not having to play a first-round game in the conference tournament.
Right. Southern Illinois has shown signs. I think Drake, Bradley too, but Drake is just playing finally at the level that we thought that they would. And for all the talk of Florida Atlantic and some of the other really good under-the-radar teams, Drake does not have the profile. It took them too long to get there, but they are there. I think they're playing like a top 25 team right now. Did you see any of that game against Illinois State tonight? And Illinois State's not a pushover. Well, Drake has just been blowing people out. They're a great defensive team. They have 5 offensive weapons, and they're finally playing like the team that we thought they would be all year long.
Let's see what happens Sunday, though. We have a 10-game winning streak against a 9-game winning streak coming into a game here, and then they may have to play the following Sunday again for the Missouri Valley title. So it's going to be fascinating game coming up here this weekend.
It is, and it's like,
Keep things moving here, though. Dorman, over to the Northeast Conference, and gotta love it. The 2 ineligible teams won, too.
Okay, so we're going to throw them out. So now we got Fairleigh Dickinson looking to have the bid to the tournament. Again, it's I don't understand the rules. If you're going to be in Division One, then let them be in Division One, and if they win the conference tournament, then they should represent the conference in the tournament. I don't like the rules. I've said it before. I won't go off on that anymore. My team here, my pick here as we sit today is Fairleigh Dickinson, but it's tight. St. Francis, PA, and Sacred Heart are going to have something to say about that.
And one thing here is that while Stonehill in the first year of transition is not going to be allowed to participate in the Northeast Conference tournament, Merrimack is in their third year of transition. And they're going to get the games at home. So if Fairleigh Dickinson wants to win the automatic bid, they may have to go to if Merrimack wins the conference tournament, actually, whoever's the highest seeded team. It would not be the runner-up. It would actually be Fairleigh Dickinson who gets the automatic bid if Fairleigh Dickinson does remain in third place after this weekend's games.
I don't like that again, because if they do get to the championship, it's meaningless because they're totally going anyway. So I just don't like the rule, and I don't agree with it.
What makes it a little more interesting is kind of have the situation we had with Bellarmine. What if Fairleigh Dickinson does win their last two games here at SFPA and home against St. Francis Brooklyn? Actually, the game tomorrow night at SFPA is a huge game, which actually could determine who the default team is should Merrimack win the conference tournament. But let's say it ends up being Wagner versus Merrimack in the conference tournament championship game. Merrimack is actually playing for Fairleigh Dickinson or SFPA, like we saw with Jacksonville State and Bellarmine last year. So it's just wild and crazy.
Well, and it ruins, in my opinion, or at least taints, I won't say ruins, what is the showcase of it, not just for men's basketball, but for the entire Northeast Conference athletic year.
But
The men's basketball season.
on the other hand, Griggs, it is a great highlight moment for Merrimack if they get to play a conference tournament championship game at home. Like
Yeah,
we
if I
saw with
work in the
Bell. I
league
mean,
office,
how
I don't
exciting
care.
was it when Bellarmine won that championship game last year?
Exciting for Bellarmine. I don't think the Yaesan was too happy about it.
Well, they still got a team in, didn't they?
Yeah.
Stilico, Ohio Valley Conference, congratulations to the regular season champion Morehead State Eagles. Locked it up tonight with a win in Eastern Illinois.
This was another team that seemed to get their motors started a little bit late in the year, but at least they're getting hot at the right time in time for March Madness down in Evansville right here. Now, as far as who's going to be challenging them, you got two teams tied for second right now in terms of UT Martin and SEMO, about 2.5 games behind them.
Yeah, and that's the interesting battle that is left here, because one of those teams does get a buy into the semifinals as well. So UT Martin and SEMO want that. I believe Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech, can, I don't know that either one of them could catch them for those spots. Also, Southern Indiana and Lindenwood are technically eligible for the overseas tournament. It only takes the top eight. Looks like Southern Indiana will be in that top eight. Lindenwood probably not in that top eight. Little Rock and Eastern Illinois probably are going to decide between the two of them who the eighth and final spot is.
Yeah, all the
there's
games.
The upcoming games here. The rest of the games are coming up tomorrow night, other than Morehead's game tonight, and then the games will come up this weekend as well. Tennessee Martin would have to win at Morehead if they want that two seed.
Yeah. Kind of an interesting game Saturday, depending on how everything plays out. Is that a de facto elimination game, Lindenwood and Little Rock, if everything works out?
It could be. It could be the battle for the final spot in the OVC tournament, though Eastern Illinois is still in that mix, too.
Yeah.
Griggs, Patriot League. Colgate actually had a little bit of a battle tonight. I was watching a lot of this game at Lafayette, but did find a way to pick up the win. Here they are, 16-1 in conference, and going to be able to host all the games of the conference tournament.
Yeah, so again, they're just sort of, I don't know if they're just going through the motions until the conference tournament starts. I mean, you probably not. They're probably taking every game seriously, but they've shown it all year long, and I think they even showed it before conference play starts. They are on a higher level than everybody else in this league on their home court. I think they wrap it up and they go into the round of 64.
Yeah, they've got
I think
a game.
They are dominant enough that they should be able to host, what is it, Lafayette, Loyola, as well as Holy Cross and Bucknell. Is that right?
They
play the winner of the 8-9 game, which looks like it's Loyola and one of that mess of teams that's got to be sorted out this weekend.
No, what I mean was back in the day when the Patriot League, I guess, it wasn't just campus sites. It was the regular season champion that hosted the entire
Okay. No, that's not what they're doing this year. It's campus sites. Yeah. Colgate does finish up at Navy, which Navy wants to get that two seed. They're in battle with Lehigh, so you at least get the semifinal in your home court. But again, they're going to have to beat Colgate at home or hopes for some help from BU as BU hosts Lehigh in that battle for the two seed. Right. Dorman, though, over in the SoCon, where we had some very a couple of good games tonight, but we did find a way to see both Samford won at Chattanooga. Furman found a way to pull out the game against Mercer, so we do keep the standings the same. Samford a game up on Furman and Greensboro.
Yes, they are. Even BMI pulled off an upset. They beat Wofford,
yes.
But Samford and I think this is a three-headed conference. It wouldn't surprise me, however this goes. But to me, Samford, Furman, and Greensboro are clearly the head of the class here. It would surprise me if the conference winner, the conference tournament winner, didn't come from one of the top three. And Furman and Greensboro, all three of them are still in a battle for the top three seeds. The one becomes so important because two and three get stuck together. So it's an easier path for the one seed.
Yeah, Samford, all they have to do is win their final game. It's at home. But it's against Furman on Saturday, so
yeah.
And this is going to be a pretty good game. And Greensboro, better not overlook East Tennessee State if they want to take a shot at the top there as well. If should they, I'm not certain what the tiebreakers are. We'll have it all figured out on Saturday.
Yeah, Samford getting the win tonight to clinch at least a share of first place. Did we ever think we would ever say something like that?
I don't know.
And I don't know, like, Kennesaw State found all these new people. Samford, have you been noticing? They've got people too now in their arena. Like,
Salika, Southland Conference. We now have a one-game lead for Texas A&M Corpus Christi. We've kind of gone full circle. They started the conference the season in the first, then it was Northwestern Scythe and Southeast of Louisiana, and now here's Corpus Christi back on top again.
And they were also scouting out the McNeese layout with their 23-point win at McNeese on Saturday right here at Northwestern State. They're only a game behind themselves thanks
But
to their win against SELA.
no, Northwestern State was the story though, because
Yeah.
on Saturday losing at home to New Orleans Grace, I mean that was one of the shockers of the day Saturday, even though it was way under the radar.
Yeah, and I want to like Northwestern State because they certainly top out, several stories above everybody else in this league, but then they bottom out really low on top of in addition to that. And what do you make of that? Like I think that they're the
This team
team
won
that's
at
that,
TCU.
yeah,
They
won at
battled at
SFA.
ba they battled at Baylor. They battled at A&M.
Yeah. And then, like, beat a really good Southern Miss team who
And
I know
then
has
lose
lost two in a row. But, like, yeah.
at home to number 356 net New Orleans. I bet there's people out there that don't even know the net goes over 356.
So, yeah, what do you make of this? And I still think that they're built to be the best, but they don't always play like it.
All I can say is, they do actually have a real interesting game coming up. It is their game on Saturday, North at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Battle for first place might be the decider for the one seed here. And a ladder format in this conference tournament, the top two seeds do get by to the semis. Those top two teams look like they're in line for that, but two more weeks left, another four more games left for this conference, so we're not quite locked in
And
yet.
only eight teams make it. And if you
Yeah.
look at the bottom there, seven, eight, nine, and 10 are all tied. Two
Yeah.
will make it, two will be going home.
Texas A&M Commerce is eligible for this conference tournament as well, so
Right.
they will be one of the eight, it looks like.
Yes.
Who am I up to here? Dorman, I guess, over in the SWAC. Alcorn State continues to lead the way.
Yes, they do, but Grambling is right there. They beat Southern over the weekend in a great game. I believe it went to overtime, but either
Did.
way, it went right down to the battle. Yeah, it did go to overtime. Southern was there, went back and forth. It was actually a really, really well played basketball game. Grambling pulled it out, and that was huge because they would have been right there for the two seed. But now Southern's two games back. To me, the conference tournament comes down to Alcorn and Grambling. I think they're better than the rest, but Southern can easily, like over the weekend, Southern can beat either one of those teams.
Yeah, and only the top eight in this conference tournament. There's some battles there, with still everyone having four games left. Mississippi Valley State not quite eliminated, but close to it here. I guess there might be
Yeah.
three games left here, but coming up this weekend, Alcorn is hosting Prairie View, and then hosting Texas Southern. Texas Southern team that was way down the standings early has now looks like they're in pretty good shape to at least make the top eight, Griggs, and it could be a
Yeah.
very dangerous team should they make that top eight.
Yeah, they were well, yeah, they were the team that I thought was going to win back in October, but haven't shown it yet. But yeah, they can be pretty dangerous. Lots of parity in this league. To add on to what Dorman said, Grambling Southern, not only was it a good game, not only was it a big
We'll
rivalry,
get
but
to
a
this in a
good
minute here.
showcase.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay, yeah.
yeah, yeah. But Stalika, let me go to you over in the Summit League, where we get our other undefeated team here, Oral Roberts, 16-0 with two games left to go. Although they actually were not as dominant this week as they had been.
And it was rather surprising that North Dakota was the team that gave the Eagles the scare right here, and that was on Thursday. North Dakota State, a team that's made the occasional NCAA tournament appearance, they ended up losing by eight against Oral Roberts right here. So, as they say, uneasy lies ahead that where's the crown?
Yeah, but they did go 2-0, and Dorman, how dangerous is this Oral Roberts team going to be in the NCAA tournament, should they, assuming they do get the automatic bid?
Extremely. Everyone will have Oral Roberts as their upset special in the first round, and I can't blame them because this team will be good enough to beat. I see them getting a 12 or 13 seed at worst, which gives them a five or a four seed against. And there's not much difference between Oral Roberts and a five seed. They'll be well. That game will be a battle right down to it.
Yeah, and they're going to be spending the rest of their season until the NCAA tournament in South Dakota, I believe. Thursday, they're at South Dakota. Saturday, their toughest game of the regular season, actually, which they have not played yet, at South Dakota State. And then they're going
and
to
the
probably
conference tournament in South Dakota.
Is in South Dakota, which means, you know, if they do end up with South Dakota State in the championship game, that's not exactly easy. And, heck, the way the standings look, there's a chance the 1-8 game could be South Dakota, could be the Yotes. So it's not exactly – they may have a tough road to get there, but I still think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Griggs, over in the Sun Belt Conference, we are back to a tie between Marshall and Southern Miss, thanks to Southern Miss having a really rough stretch here. They got blown out by South Alabama, bounced back with a win over Georgia Southern, but then they lose tonight at Old Dominion.
Yeah, in Old Dominion, a decent team. I don't want to say that it's easy to go there and win, but Southern Miss, up until about eight days ago or so, was looking like a team that it's like, could they make a run at the bubble? I mean, this is just a really solid-looking team. Now they've kind of fallen back to earth, and all of a sudden it's a three-way race again.
Well, I think it's a two. Well, I guess Louisiana only one game back of the loss column, and we do still. But are we? I believe we're finishing up this.
Yeah, we are. So I don't. Teams already being eliminated from this, or are they? No, they're all in it.
All 14 teams will be going to Pensacola here. Yeah. The Arkansas State Louisiana game has not quite gone final yet. I guess it's going on right now. Louisiana's up big, so they should be up to 12-5 by the end of the night. But there's like at the end of the season here. Marshall has a road test at Old Dominion. Southern Miss, a easier road game at Texas State. Favor Southern Miss in that regards, at least.
Well, Marshall passed their test tonight at James Madison with flying colors here, so I could see the Herd probably getting the one seed right here.
Yeah, we could pull up a couple profiles here. I don't know who won head-to-head when they played this season. Was it? I just don't recall off the top of my head here. But Marshall actually won the game. So Marshall is in position for the tiebreaker. So right now, should Marshall win, they are going to be your one seed. Southern Miss will be your two seed.
Yeah, that was way back at the start of conference play. I'd forgotten that too, Chad. But yeah, Marshall beat them pretty good.
And good point.
It's also a rare tier two win for the Herd tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point, Dorman, though. It is top four seeds getting byes into the quarterfinals. The bottom four teams actually have to play five games in 5 days with that extra round in there. Salika, the whack. Utah Valley now with a two game lead. Still another week and a half to go.
I feel like that's the story on the court right here, thanks to their win at Seattle. But thanks to New Mexico State essentially ending the rest of the season, we're going to be getting a lot of weird results here in blue as teams are scrambling to try to get home games remaining to fill sudden vacancies. Grand Canyon might be the best one because they had to play that on a Tuesday morning in their practice facility.
Yeah, and the WAC, I don't have it to show on the screen here. They do use this resume-based seeding system. Right now, though, Utah Valley is in line to be the one seed. Sam Houston fairly comfortably in the two seed spot, even though there's tied in the standings with Southern Utah. Those are looking like your top two seeds. Southern Utah and Seattle would be the three and the four seeds. The other teams getting first round byes. All 12 teams of the New Mexico State in this conference tournament, including Tarleton and Utah Tech this year.
Have they announced what they will do with that one spot that's now open, the conference?
They were only taking 12 out of 13 to begin with. There was going to be one elimination.
Oh, so that, New Mexico got
so
it.
They just made that New Mexico State. What they announced was the other 12 teams, regardless of how they finish, you know, will be in there. Even if they did somehow finish below New Mexico State in the standings, they're all 12 of those are going. Busy day here coming up here. Some games Thursday, but Utah Valley, I guess, is the team we want to really circle here. Thursday night at Tarleton, Saturday at Abilene, and next Tuesday again hosting Tarleton now. So it should be a good week for Utah Valley to just run away with with the conference regular season title, if we look at it that way.
Yeah.
Let's check in, Griggs, with our two independents. As we saw the end of Division One for the Hartford Hawks.
Yeah. And you feel for that entire university community for the idiocy of its leadership. And a lot of alumni and students not happy with the direction they're going. So
the good news, Salika, they may be on our Hoops HD board here. They are in the clubhouse, at least, with a very poor record for our Centenary Award for worst D1 teams. Still a few other contenders out there, though.
Not only that, but also an automatic bid to the AC8 is at stake for the Hawks.
Yes, AC8 bids, yes. Chicago State season is not done. They are going to be playing Wednesday at Gonzaga. They're going to stay out there actually next week, and they've got a game at Fresno as well to end the season. So a couple games left for Chicago State. Both of them on the road here. Dorman, your hometown team undefeated at home this year for the Cougars. How about that?
Unbelievable. Yeah. I know we joke, but it's an incredible improvement, this team, the program. I mean, for where they were like even 12 months ago, to have an overall record of 11-8, they won 11 games this year. You couldn't have convinced me that was going to happen 12 months ago. I give a lot of credit to the leadership and the coaching staff at Chicago State for sticking with it, staying focused. And I know it sounds crazy, a really impressive season.
No, yeah. It was.
Okay. Check it out, a few of our mythical conferences here. First of all, the Front Range. Colorado's all but locked it up here at 2-0. I don't know if Air Force has another game yet left or not. But I think Colorado is done with Front Range games. Wyoming, Colorado State, though, coming up Friday night here, huge, even though it's not going to impact the standings, this is the real border war. So.
Yeah, it's the real border war.
Let's quick look at our back range. A little disappointing here. We end up with a tie here between Arizona and Grand Canyon, and I don't think anything else is going to happen. Although, I don't know, did Grand Canyon's win over Park of Arizona count? Maybe they get the title?
Yeah, I don't know. Arizona gets another shot at Arizona State, so they could wrap it up.
And finally, we have a champion to crown in the Beehive Conference. Yes, it happened. They went to Utah. Grambling beat Southern in Utah. On Saturday, yes. We decided last week it was a Beehive game. There you are, 1-0 in conference, not playing any more Beehive games. Congrats to the Grambling Tigers. They are taking home. The Old Ochre Bucket.
Hey, they're as deserving of it as ever to anybody else.
And will this now be the Bayou Bucket? Yeah. Just like
that. It is now the Bayou Bucket. Congrats to Grambling. Southern, unfortunately, finishes tied down there with Utah. Disappointing Beehive season for the Southern Jaguars. No more games coming up here. I don't know. Yeah. There might be a few more games here. I don't know. Let's see. Anything on there? I don't really see any. Anyhow, the season's over. Congrats to Grambling. Under the radar top 10. The four of us voted. Our good friend Rocco Milfbracktier.org. He's on an airplane as we recorded this, so he couldn't come on the show. I tried to get him on anyhow, but he did submit a ballot at least.
Is he going to the Northeast Conference tomorrow night?
Probably.
I think he was coming back from the MAC last night. But receiving votes, but not quite making the top 10 were Hofstra, Sam Houston, UC Santa Barbara, Eastern Washington, UC Irvine, Dayton, Toledo, Marshall, and Liberty. But let's go to our actual top 10. Number 10, these votes were all cast before they lost tonight.
Yeah.
It was actually only 1 point difference between Southern Miss and Hofstra. I think Hofstra would be in our top 10 had we waited till Southern
Miss. Yeah, I think we could actually flip those if we wanted to.
Coming in at number 9, Bradley. We discussed them, that we do like them in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Number 8, VCU over there in the A-10, the team that we really like as well.
Yep, climbing the standings.
Number 7, Utah Valley. We just discussed them at the top of the WAC.
This is a dangerous Utah Valley team.
Number 6, Kent State.
Kent State falling a little bit.
Still in the top, despite the slipping up and not even being in first place anymore. Toledo only an honorable mention. Kent State still make the top 10. And number 5, we've got Drake, of course. If Bradley's in there at 9, Drake had to be above them somewhere here.
Yeah.
Number 4, North Texas. We've talked about them.
Way up there.
This is another team that's not leading its conference, but here they are, number 4. I think they should be higher than number 4. I think I had them number 2 in my poll. Number 2, Oral Roberts, undefeated in conference play. Number two, College of Charleston.
Yeah.
Hofstra barely made our top 10, or maybe did make our top 10. College of Charleston, number two, despite also being behind them in the conference, at least I
Yeah.
think. And I don't think it's any surprise, but we'll throw a drum roll in here anyhow. The Florida Atlantic Owls, our
Yeah.
final Hoops HD under the radar top 10 number one team. On that note, let's go to our final thoughts of under the radar season for 2022-23. Sleeka, why don't you start us off?
It seems like all good things have to come to an end at some point. Our Under the Radar podcast for the season, Austin Peay's arena had to come to an end, and that came to an end in a, shall we say, spectacular fashion with a, because apparently, I guess North Florida was not prepared to end that arena, so they got into a little fracas on the court and off the court, because if you saw the video there, like North Florida's team and their AD were rushing into the hallway because apparently it was a bigger fracas going on behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah. Dorman.
At Hoops HD, we give our under the radar conferences love all year. But if you're not as familiar with these conferences, they take center stage the next 2 weeks. Don't wait to the championship game to start watching these games. I don't care what round it is, quarters, first round, semis. The basketball is fantastic. When you're playing for your lives, everything's on the line here. Only one team is going to the tournament. That's going to be your champion. Make sure you get a hold of these games. The seniors are playing their last season. It is just fantastic ball. The coaches are giving it all. The fans are getting behind it. I love this time of the year.
Yeah, and it all begins Monday with the 8-9 and the 7-10 games of the A-Sun. We are going to cover every single conference tournament
Yeah.
game, literally. Beginning Sunday night, we'll do our preview, our first show. It's our first Championship Week video notebook. We'll be previewing the 7-10 and 8-9 games of the A-Sun.
Yeah.
Have our whole Can Hoops HD panel here to preview the two most meaningless games of Championship Week. It'll be great fun. But we're going to be back every single night covering these under the radar. We're going to be doing podcasts at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're not going to be sleeping. I don't even know what
Right.
else we're going to be doing. But Griggs, you want to finish out the show here for us?
Well, that was, I think you just kind of finished out where I was going to go. This is a fun time of the year. For me, it's the most fun period on not, well, of college basketball for sure, but of all of the sports calendar. Not so much the Sweet 16, but everything that happens from Monday to the Sweet 16. I can't believe that Under the Radar has come to the end, but God, it's just getting ramped up. And every night, even like from those early round and opening round games of the small Under the Radar conferences, it just feels like it's March.
Yeah. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We will actually be back tomorrow night. We'll be doing a bracket rundown show. We'll have a few more of those during the course of Championship Week as well. Monday night, we'll have a Hoops HD report and a video notebook, but begin tuning in Sunday evening. You may have to wait up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch our podcast and recording of it
Yeah.
too, but or watch them the next morning if worst case
Yeah.
scenario. But anyhow, on behalf of John Salica, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.